epistle. You know, I've heard somebody say some people, the only Bible they'll ever read is when they see our life. When they see the life of a Christian, and that they'll read that Bible, and then they'll get to the right Bible, hopefully. Amen. They'll get to the Word of God, because we fall short many times. But some people, they are reading their life, and they are seeing their life. And if we have been open before God, everything will be right in our life, and it'll be in line with what God wants. And it'll be a blessing. He said, our epistle's written in the hearts, if you will, not on tables of stone. I'm reminded also that the Scripture tells us in all through this chapter. I want to back up and just look at a couple things in this chapter before I go any further. But back in verse 1, he says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. I mean, this is the theme of this chapter from the beginning to the end. He said, Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. And then he ends up by saying, Lord, continue to search me, continue to try and look in my life. He said, Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. And lo, O Lord, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. He said, you don't even have a thought that I don't know about. You don't even have a word on the edge of your tongue that I don't know about. You don't go anywhere that I don't know about it. You don't go, he's saying, that's the truth. There's nothing that I do that, Lord, you don't know about. So why don't you examine it in my life and let me draw close to you? Yes. So many times people think they get in the way with stuff, don't they? I'll tell you what, you might get away with stuff as this world's concerned. You might hide it from somebody else. You may not get the what you deserve, and we're glad sometimes we don't get what we deserve. But let me say that there's nothing that's hid from the eyes of God. There's nothing that's hid from Him. I mean, we can hide it, as old say, we can hide it from the preacher, and we can hide it from mom and dad. We can hide it from people at work. We can hide it from our family, but you can't hide it from God. He said, search me. Search me. Oh, if there's anybody that can search our heart, it's the Lord. Amen. We get things, you know, we wonder about things and wonder how things are, what's going on in our life. Like I said the other service, I said sometimes there's the Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. But if we have tribulation, trial we're going through, we surely ought to check up if we're close to God, for where we need to be for the Lord. Because it may be the judgment hand of God upon us. It may be the Lord trying to wake us up. It may be the Lord trying to speak to us. And praise God, if we've been open before the Lord, we know everything's all right between us and the Lord. Well, the Scripture says down there in verse 7, He said, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. The psalmist realized there wasn't nowhere he could get away from the Lord. I mean, truly get away from Him, seeing Him. And knowing Him and knowing His thoughts and everything. I mean, we talk about getting away from God, but really, what it is that it's that fellowship, or it's no relationship that we haven't got saved yet, and we continue to go in the wrong direction. We continue to listen to the lies of the devil, and we continue to get away from God and His convicting, if you will. So many times, maybe somebody's there and they've heard the song, they've heard Just As I Am, or God's dealt with their heart in some way, and they turn away that invitation, and then they get away from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what? God can deal with your heart sitting alone at home. Amen. God can deal with your heart. He knows your address. He knows your phone number. He knows your social security number. Amen. He knows where you live. He knows our lives. Hey, there's nowhere we can get away from God, really. We can't. But I tell you what, people run from conviction. They run from the touch of God on their life. Yeah. How sad that is. But really, the psalmist come to the grips that I need to be open book before the Lord. Look in verse 14. He said, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. That's pretty good there, ain't it? That almost sounds southern, don't it, hey, Brother Pete? Amen. He said, Lord knows it right well. Amen. You better be sure He knows it right well. He knows our life. He knows everything. He said he knows about our making. The Bible tells us about him knowing us in the womb. And if you back up into verse 13, he knew you in your mother's womb. He knows us from the very beginning till the very end. Well, we ought to be an open book. Let me give you a couple thoughts and hope this will be a help to us. And first of all, I want to say the psalmist is saying, I'm going to be an open book because he says, search me. I'm going to be open, but just turn the pages, Lord. Just go anywhere you want to, Lord. And if there's somewhere you need to put your finger down, just put it there. And just turn another page if you need to. Just go wherever and search me. Search the pages. Look through my life. Search me, he says in verse 23. He said, search me, for I seek. He's seeking after the Lord's salvation. Search me. For he needs the Lord's deliverance. He needs the Lord's touch. Scripture says over in Matthew chapter 22 and beginning verse 36. The Bible says there that there was a lawyer that came to the Lord and he said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He gave a question to try to trip the Lord up, if you will. He gave the question, he asked, what's the greatest commandment? He asked, what was the great commandment? And the Lord says that love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. You know, the Lord's the only one that can know that. The Lord's the only one that knows if you really got your whole heart into it, like we preached about the other Sunday. You got your whole heart into it. He's the only one that knows. And he said the second is like unto it. He said that's the first and the greatest, but he said the second is like unto it. In fact, if you look at the commandments, the first four commandments deals with our relationship to God, and then the others deal with our relationship to man. So if you get the relationship right between you and God, then it'll be right between you and man. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's getting it right between you and God. And then you get the relationship right this way. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And everything that God has for us falls upon that as far as our service before God. And he says, search me. You know whether I love you with all my heart. I kind of think about how the Lord sat there with John the Beloved one day and he said, do you love me? Amen. He just asked, do you love me? And of course he said, and each time he answered. In fact, the third time it's almost like he was upset just a little bit at the Lord's persistence because he said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. You know, ain't it something, maybe the Lord, you can look at this search as God asking every once in a while, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? And of course, he was giving him he said after that each time, he said, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. He said every time, well, if you love me, then you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Amen. I've told you something to do. If you love me, you'll show your love.
Amen.
Oh, we know that in relationships. Now, we know that in relationships in our home. You don't just say it. It's an action word. Amen. You do it. Amen. It's through that experience of showing somebody you love. Somebody said love for your kids spelled with another four-letter word too, T-I-M-E. Give them time, not just money. Give them your attention. Give them time. And you'll demonstrate your love. Well, the Lord, it's the same way with our relationship with the Lord. We demonstrate our love. We show our love because we obey what he says. He says, search me. Second of all, he says, know me. It's going to be a simple message, okay? Search me, know me. Know me. I see in that he's seeking fellowship. He says, know me. Get you know what? When we say, when we want to have, when we, we're going to... talk to somebody, or we're going to spend any time with somebody. We'll say we're going to get to know them. We just ask a few questions, and you know, we get to know them. Find out what type of job you know they do, or whatever, and find out about their family, how many kids they have, or they have grandkids and things, and we'll talk and we'll sit down and get to know them. And then you can have more fellowship. You'll find something in common. You'll talk about something, and then they'll talk about where they've been or where their family is from, things like that. And you begin to know them. Well, the Lord says, we need to have fellowship. And you need to get to know me, and I need to get to know you. And how's the Lord? The Lord does know us, but what do we do spiritually? We say, Lord, here I am. I'm an open book. Know me. Know me. I'm reminded of what Paul said, and really this is talking about fellowship with the Lord, because it says that. In Philippians 3:10, it says that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He said that I may know him. Oh, do we want to know the Lord? Do we want him to know us? Do we want to have fellowship? I'm reminded of what the scripture says in Revelation 3, where it says he stands at the door and knocks, and if any man will open up, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, and he with me. Now that's another good southern term too. It's where we get the word supper. Just sup is where we get the word supper. And I still ain't figured out all the etiquette about that. Somebody said dinner is after dinner is after 8 o'clock or something. No, I don't. I can't wait that late for dinner. My goodness, I got to get something to eat before then. Amen. But they say no, that's lunch. You know, and you have breakfast and lunch and. I mean, if I do it like some folks, I'd have to eat four times a day. I'd have to have breakfast and then the lunch and then the supper and then dinner again. But anyhow, got some amens on that. Amen. But, you know, etiquette, you know, they say, the right etiquette. I just ain't been too good with that, I reckon. I don't know. Never forget, I was traveling with pray for the Spearman family. I was traveling with them for about a couple of years, and Brother Spearman just went home to be with the Lord. So pray for the family there, Ernest Spearman. But we was with them. I remember one of the first places we were at that was in a real fancy restaurant, and they should have knew. They should have just took me to McDonald's or something and let me stay in the bus. I don't know, but we got there at that fancy restaurant. I mean, the pastor's wife, she bought me a new shirt and she bought me a tie. At that time, those little square ties were in style. We called them preppy ties. But she bought me one of them, you know, and you grab that thing and it'd bounce, you know. Funny looking tie. But anyhow, that's what I would do with it anyhow. But we went to this restaurant. I said there's only about six of them in the whole country. Real nice restaurant in Lafayette, Indiana. We sat down there, and man, there's all kinds of different forks and spoons on both sides of the plate and everything. I never did pick up the right one. I mean, I'd pick up one, the preacher's wife would look over at me. And the worst thing was I ordered tea. My God, I shouldn't have ordered tea in Indiana. I ordered tea and told them sweet tea, and they did. It wasn't sweet. Man, I took that. There was a sugar bowl there. I took it, and I dipped in that thing. And there was a dipper thing beside of it. I grabbed my spoon and dipped in it. That's the first thing I did wrong. And here I was. Everybody's looking at me and everything. I'm dipping this sugar and trying. And I kept a dipping, trying to get more. They just knew that they shouldn't have took me there. I finally figured out later on the shorter fork was a salad fork. And the long was, I didn't need two forks. I used that big one for all of it.
Yeah.
So... But anyhow, when you get to have that fellowship, even though it's not, and we went to their house later, and I've seen something that put it more into perspective, I reckon. They had this beautiful picture on the wall, and it had all these place settings on it, and the table looked like it. You just went in, it went for miles and miles. It's this big long table, and there was a place setting at every one of them. And it was a picture of the great supper in heaven. And it talked about that great supper. We're all bidding up there. And I tell you what, when the holy china cabinet is taken care of there and the place settings there, we'll know what to do there. Amen. We'll know what to do there at that table when they're with the Lord, praise God. And we have fellowship up there in heaven one of these days. Hey, The Lord says, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will come in, I'll have supper with you. I'll have fellowship with you. And it'll be right. Amen. Hey, listen, you get to know the Lord. You don't have to feel uncomfortable. Amen. You get to know Him. You get to know people, and you get to be around people. And I was like I preached last Sunday. I was always shy and everything, but I got to go in different places and got to be around people and talk to them and fellowship with them. And you can break out of that. But I tell you what, if there's anybody you need to get to know, it's the Lord. If there's anybody you need to have fellowship with, it's Him, praise God. Well, to be on first name basis, amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, there's a place, one scripture over there, and there's a couple different times, but one's in Ephesians where it says, talking about our adoption as the children of God, and it says we can say Abba, Father. Amen. Somebody said that's an affectionate term. We're not just saying Father, we're saying Papa. We're saying Daddy. We're saying an affectionate term because Paul said, I may know Him. Search me, he says. Know me. Knowing that, he says, try me. Search me, know me, try me. I think he's saying try me because he wants us to look at our service before the Lord. What are we doing for the Lord? What are we doing for God? How much do we love Him? We're obeying His commandments. He said, try me. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than a gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory unto the appearing of Jesus Christ. And His appearing at His glory, we'll be glad that somewhere along the way, Brother Pete, we'll be glad somewhere along the way we said, Lord, try me. Lord, try me. Because when it's all said and done, it'll be to the praise and the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be glad that we live for Him. We'll be glad that we served Him. We'll be glad we was faithful to do what the Lord wanted us to do. Try me, He says. So many times we don't want to be open. We don't want to be an open book like that sometimes. Because we don't know what's going to happen. But what a blessing it'd be if we'd say, Lord, here I am. Just try me. Here I am. Somebody said, I'm not going to pray for patience because before patience there in the Scriptures in Romans 5 it says there's tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Maybe that's what it takes. But I'll tell you what, we ought to be glad to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ just a little bit. And we ought where we can get there where we need to be for God. Search me, He says. Know me, He says. He says, try me. And then fourthly, He says, see me. Amen. I told you it's going to be simple. He says, see if there be any wicked way in me. In verse 24, just see what's in my life. He said, see me for, I think what he's seeking there is comfort. If we know everything's all right between us and the Lord, then the ups and downs of this life don't have to shake our world. It might shake everybody else. But things that happen and things that go on, I mean, it don't have to shake the child of God. Whether it's an economic crisis, whether it's a natural disaster, whatever it might be, whether it's a something personally in our lives that happens, it don't have to rock our world. It don't have to shake us. Because we can be an open book. Because we can say, Lord, try me. Because we can say, Lord, know me. We can say, Lord, search me. We can say, Lord, see me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And praise God, when you know everything's all right between you and the Lord, you can lay your head on your pillow at night. And praise God, you can just have that peace, that deep, settled peace that only comes because you know Him and you know everything's all right between you and the Lord. And you can just sleep like a baby, like I say. Amen, it's a blessing. Amen. And I know there's, physical conditions and problems and everything that people have. I'm not discounting that. But what I'm saying is there's just a deep, settled peace that you can have in your heart because you know everything's all right between you and the Lord. You don't have to worry about waking up in a pit of hell. You know everything's all right. You're on your way to heaven. You know everything's all right between you and the Lord. You can rejoice and you can sing His praises and God stirs your heart with that. What a blessing. See if there be any wicked way in me. Hey, I tell you what, the child of God that's like this, the child of God that's open book, praise God, that's the child of God that can praise His name and give Him glory and sing His praises and smile from ear to ear. Hey, I tell you what, if we had more Christians like that, it'd be a testimony. It'd be a testimony to the glory of God. We don't have to go through this world with a frown on our face all the time. It's like that. I had that missionary come up here a couple weeks ago, and he got up and he said, looked around, he said, I'm glad to see a lot of y'all smiling. He said, I go into churches, they ain't even smiling. I mean, they just a frown and everything. But, you know, if we've said, Lord, you look at my life. You see me. You know me. You see anything needs a tweaking in my life, you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, just, like the old song said, He's still working on me. We all let the Lord work on us. Praise God. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 says, if there be any, therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy and be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one of mind. What a blessing. He said, hey, that fellowship, that comfort, consolation that we can have from the Lord. There's nothing better than having that peace. You know, I tell you what, if you're not saved, there's a void in your life. That's the reason there's no peace. If you're not saved, there's something missing there. The Lord has created every one of us. Now, I don't care what they say. You're not a monkey's uncle or an uncle of a monkey. You know, you didn't have a tail that had to fall off one day. Ridiculous thing. I mean, ridiculous to think somewhere out there, first of all, it was a big bang. You can't tell me everything here is a mistake. I mean, the beauty of God's creation, man, we went to that, I tagged along with those ladies to them gardens. You see all them beautiful flowers, and some of them are saying this one came from China and that one from India. And we came by, and some of them were still, we got scattered out a little bit, but some of them are still there, and I pointed out that old Rose of Sharon bush. I think that a blessing. And you see all the beauties of God's creation and how everything works together and how God's taken care of it all these years. I mean, it's there has to be an intelligent design behind that. It takes more faith to believe that it all banged together sometime and one cell organism bumped together against something and turned into a two-cell organism and so on and so forth, and the tadpole turned into just come up out of the seas one day and started walking around and somehow became a monkey later on and then got up in a tree and fell out of the tree and lost his tail and got a hold of a briefcase and now he's got a PhD. He's called man now. It takes a stretch of the imagination to believe that. Because there's nothing still evolving today. I mean, there's no monkeys turning into a business people. Well, maybe they are, but... But God is the one that created all of us.
Yes, sir.
He said one day, He said He breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul.
Amen.
So every person has a soul inside of them. Every person has a soul inside of them, let me say. Not an animal. Okay? Just recently, I forget which country it was. I think it was a country in South America. It may have been somewhere else. But they recently voted in that country to give human rights to animals. They've got animals down there now that have human rights. I mean, I guess maybe it'll help them when they apply for the jobs down there. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. You know, you can't discriminate against the animals now for jobs. That's ridiculous. I mean, anyhow, how'd I get off on that? But I tell you what a blessing to know that you can have a relationship with the Lord. Everything can be all right between you and God. And the Scripture tells us in, let me give you this passage, in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who loved us and given us everlasting consolation, doesn't have to ever end, everlasting consolation, and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Thank God, God can give us that comfort that we need. Like the old song says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. Then lastly, let me give you this. An open book is saying, Lord, search me. I need your salvation. Know me. I need your fellowship. Try me. I want to serve you. See me. I need your comfort. And then last of all, let me say, he says, lead me. Lead me. I seek your guidance. Verse 24 says, lead me in the way everlasting. Psalms chapter 61, the Scripture tells us there about the Lord, about the psalmist and being open before God. And there's many places we can go, but really this is a prayer that he prays to God. And he says in verse 1, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. He said, no matter where I'm at, I'm at wit's end, I'm going to cry to you, Lord. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. He said, lead me to the rock. You know what? There's stability there in being led to the rock of our salvation. The rock of our salvation. I mentioned the Spearmans earlier. They wrote a song while I was traveling with them called Holding On to the Rock. Get that place where the rock of Jesus Christ, and you can just hang on, hold on to the rock, and know also that, amen, that He's got a hold of you, amen? And He said, lead me to that rock. There's a place of stability. There's a place of guidance that we know that the rock is higher than us, is greater than us. What a blessing. That rock is not going to falter. That rock is not going to fall. That rock is not going to break. That rock of Jesus Christ, we can stand upon that. Let me give you a couple more verses and I'm done. The Scripture tells us in Psalms 119, verse 2, He's talking about seeking. I'll tell you what, if we seek to let the Lord lead us and let the Lord comfort us and serve the Lord and have that fellowship, and we seek for salvation, we can be saved. Amen. We can be delivered. Psalms 119 verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with their whole heart. Many times people just, they don't have their heart into things and just don't do as good a job. Well, I tell you what, we're not in the right fellowship with the Lord when we don't have our whole heart in this thing about serving God. And last what Jeremiah 29 and verse 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart. I believe we can find what we need in Jesus Christ if we'll search, if we'll want to know, if we'll want Him to try, if we'll want Him to see, if we'll want Him to lead us. I believe, praise God, He'll be just like He'll be just like the Father does for a little child. He holds up that hand and He gets a hold of that hand and he leads and he follows Him. Joshua, I said this before, not Joshua anymore. I was talking about you earlier. Jacob, when Jacob's still the only one that when he's fixing to go across the street, he'll throw that little hand up and he'll want mommy or daddy to hold that hand. The Bible says if we'll come with a childlike faith, we can be saved. The reason some people ain't getting saved is we're acting like stubborn adults instead of a small child that wants to be led by the Lord. And you know what? You hold that hand up to Him and He'll reach down His big hand to you. And He'll lead you in the way everlasting. He'll guide you. That childlike faith. That's the reason it's a blessing somebody gets saved as a young child. We don't need to take that lightly. Somebody gets saved as a young child, it's a blessing because that heart's tender. And that heart says, oh, sure, I believe that. That heart says, sure, I believe that God created everything. Yeah. It hadn't been messed up by the world and everything. And says, sure, I believe God can lead me. And they open up that heart to the Lord. But as days go on and years go on and the world and the flesh and the devil and everything begins to harden that heart, and we don't open up to the Lord like we should, but we still ought to be an open book. Amen. I ask the musicians to come around. The Lord knows your heart. If there's anybody that you just need to come around and pray, whatever the need might be.